Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy. This is chapter 12. There's 32 verses in it. And this has to do with what? Read the header again, please.
The Lord's chosen place for worship.
Okay, in the Old Testament, it was in the temple, and we all know that the temple is symbolic of our bodies. Amen?
Amen.
Because there is no man-made temple anymore that we're supposed to be worshiping in. We're supposed to be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
And so after we get saved, in the Old Testament, chapter 12 here, it tells how they have to go in and destroy all the idol worshiping, all the things that are negative so far as God is concerned. And after we become born-again Christians in the New Testament, we have to destroy every evil thing that is in our temple, in the temple which now belongs to God, our bodies. And we have to purge it out. He says, you are purged and cleaned by my word. Now, he washes all of our sins away in his blood, but we purge ourselves by reading his word to get all the idols, all the satanic things that the devil brings to us, all the traditions or the anything that is suspicions or superstitions rather, all those have to go. So we have to slay all those beasts within ourselves, all those idols within ourselves, so that God will communicate with us and that we mingled, our spirits mingled with his, can worship him in his temple, which is our bodies. So Father God, we pray that you will enlighten every hearer of this tape, that you'll anoint this passage, all these passages in chapter 12, and that you'll make us aware constantly, every day, one day at a time, that we have to keep ourselves under the control of the Holy Spirit. And people will say, well, the Lord doesn't want to control anybody. He says he made us free moral agents. But as I said in the tape yesterday, we are moral agents, but he wants us to choose to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and subject ourselves under the word, the rules, the regulations, the laws of God by the Holy Spirit living in us, or to choose to be controlled by the spirit of Satan. We have to be controlled by one of these forces, either God or Satan. And we have to place ourselves under the control. All of our lives, we were under the control of Satan. Until we come to the Lord and say, we're tired of being controlled by you. And now we come to the Lord and say, now we want to be controlled by you, Lord. Give us power and dominion. Enter us and give us power and dominion over Satan. And Lord, we promise to read your word so it'll purge out all the false things that are in us. All the weaknesses that are in us, we want to dispel of them and let you fill us full of your spirit. And the fullness of the stature of mature faith, of faith that is totally mature, will happen if we constantly purge ourselves with the word of God, if we are constantly concentrating, thinking about it, and analyzing ourselves, comparing ourselves with the word of the Lord. So, Lord, this is the lesson that you want to teach us in this chapter 12 of Deuteronomy, and it follows throughout the entire New Testament. Lord, we thank and praise you for your word, because it gives us the power to live another day victoriously with you in us. Lord, we ask that you do all these things in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Now let's go.
Deuteronomy chapter 12, the Lord's chosen place for worship. King James Version, verse 1.
See, you already learned a lesson on that, right?
Yes.
He chose us, amen?
Amen.
And what for? So that we would worship him, amen?
Amen.
And that he would live in us and we'd live in him. Okay, then what?
These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it.
Yes, because if we keep all these statutes and precepts, all that will purge away every false idea that we have or anything, that the false things that we've been taught during our life. And every day, if you watch the news or if you are in the marketplace or wherever you go, you're going to see false things, things that are against God, and you're going to hear false things. And it's just a constant barrage of it from a whole world that is deceived. And so we have to just lean on the Lord and let him fill us with his presence so that we're powerful, strong, not of our own, but because of him in us. So we have to tank up with him every day, and that way we stand firm, solid on that solid rock, Christ Jesus. Then what? Start the verse again.
These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth.
Now, the land that the Lord gave them was Canaan land. It's symbolic of the kingdom of heaven, because Jesus is the land. Jesus is the food that we eat every day, and he is the water that we drink, and all this purges us. He is everything. God is everything, and Jesus is God. Then what?
Verse 2. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods.
See, he said destroy everything, and it's destroyed by his word entering us. Amen?
Amen.
His word created everything, and his word destroys the devil in us. And anything that is not of the Lord in us is of the devil, the flesh, the self. And so the word will purge that out. Then what?
Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains, and upon the hills, and under every green tree. Verse 3. And ye shall overthrow their altars, and break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire, and ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place.
See, the word of the Lord is like a hammer, it's like a fire. And it destroys all these fallacies that are in us and fills us up with the presence of the Lord, which mortifies the deeds of the flesh. All right, then what?
Verse 4. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. Verse 5. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come.
So he fills us with himself, his presence, and he writes his laws on the table of our hearts with the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit, the finger of God is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is what wrote all the Ten Commandments on those rocks, those two tablets of stone. Okay, then what?
Verse 6. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds, and of your flocks.
Okay, now Jesus is all that, and he wants us to tithe ourselves. We really don't have anything to give the Lord but ourselves. And if we let him live in us, then that's what he wants, so that he can live out his life in and through us, and with us. We want to live out his life in us too. Our will must be the same as Jesus's will, to do the will of the Father, no longer our will. Then what?
Verse 7. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hands unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee.
Okay, so we eat the word of God, and we drink the blood of Jesus, we drink the word of God, and so we have plenty. He sets a table before our enemies, like when he's blessing you for doing everything that he says, all your enemies will see the blessings that he's giving you, and that means he's setting a table. He's setting a table. He's blessing you in front of your enemies. Amen?
Amen.
And he's got plenty of delicious word to eat and to drink. Then what?
Verse 8. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Verse 9. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. Verse 10, But when ye go over Jordan, and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety. Verse 11, Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose, to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. Translation, verse 1 through 11. The Lord's chosen place for worship. These are the laws and regulations you must obey as long as you live in the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. 2. When you drive out the nations that live there, you must destroy all the places where they worship their gods, high on the mountains, up on the hills, and under every green tree. Verse 3. Break down their altars and smash their sacred pillars. Burn their Asherah poles and cut down their carved idols.
Right. See, now the land is Jesus, I said. So you, when you come into the land which is Jesus, he doesn't want you to bring or agree with any of the people that he drove out of there. He drove with his people, and he did it really himself with his obedient people. He drove all the evil people out. And that's symbolic of, he wants us to do the same, drive all the evil things that evil people have taught us out of our, out of his temple, which is us. And then make sure that you just continuously do that. He said it's a slow process. He doesn't want them all driven out at the same time, but as you multiply, as you get stronger in faith, as you get stronger in the word of the Lord, then you can drive all the wild beasts out of your God's temple, which is you. And then you'll live in the land, in other words, in Christ, and have all the blessings of Christ, the land, and the Lord will do that because you're living in his word. And you're in the New Testament, his word is living in you, and you're abiding in him, amen, the land, Jesus. And so therefore, it's a perfect unity. It's a perfect keeping of covenant, because the Lord always keeps his covenant, and we have to keep the covenant with him, amen?
Amen.
Okay, so it's just all symbolic of that which is happening today for the past 2,000 years. Then what?
Erase the names of their gods from those places,
Erase every false thing out of you. And don't let anyone teach you any false doctrine, because the Lord doesn't want any you to believe partly in Jesus and partly in superstition and partly in other gods like Buddha. People say, well, we feel good chanting unto Buddha. You can feel good going to a baseball game and screaming and yelling for your favorite team or your basketball team or football team or your favorite boxer. And if they win, you just feel good for a while, but then all of a sudden there's nothing there anymore. Within 5-10 minutes, you just forget about that unless you go around gloating, and that won't do you any good. But when you have the Lord, when you pray to the Lord, you not only feel good then, but he makes you feel good all the time. Okay, so Buddha is a false thing. Mohammedism is a false thing. Catholicism is a false pagan. All these are pagan religions. And people feel good, you know, when they're doing illicit things in the world, temper for a small period of time. But it's just a brief moment of what they feel good. And then at the end of the line, when you're standing before the judgment bar of the Lord, then you have to spend eternity in, there will be nothing of any pleasure there, nothing but misery, pain, and nothing. You don't receive food, water, clothing, any kind of rest. You never can lay down or sit down again. And that just keeps going on forever. So there isn't anything that you think makes you feel good that's going to make you feel good in hell, in eternity, except the Lord. The Lord makes you feel good here. He blesses you here, and he also gives you eternal life. Then what?
Verse 4. Do not worship the Lord your God in the way these pagan peoples worship their gods. Verse 5. Rather, you must seek the Lord your God at the place he himself will choose from among all the tribes for his name to be honored. Verse 6. There you will bring to the Lord your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your special gifts, your offerings to fulfill a vow, your freewill offerings, and your offerings of the firstborn animals of your flocks and herds. Verse 7. There you and your families will feast in the presence of the Lord your God, and you will rejoice in all you have accomplished, because the Lord your God has blessed you. Verse 8. Today you are doing whatever you please, but that is not how it will be. Verse 9. When you arrive in the place of rest, the Lord your God is giving you.
The place of Sabbath. The Lord says, come unto me, the land, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath rest. When you come in there, and when I'm giving you rest, that means rest from your own ways to do things my way. And it gives you great peace when you're doing things, when the Lord is living in you, because you know you're saved. And if the breath goes out of your body instantly, I've heard of a lot of people down through the past and recently, real healthy, strong, young, and all of a sudden their heart stops and they're dead. One of Buster's friends told me of two people that recently just dropped dead, healthy, big, strong guys, and they died, and they were not saved. They just dropped dead in an instant. And Mr. Romero, Brother Romero in the church, he also was starting to turn his back on the Lord. And he was talking to a couple of the sisters, and he was pointing to somebody coming in the door in a restaurant, and he said, I prayed that person through. So they looked, and all of a sudden they heard a thud, and he was dead right behind them. You all heard about that, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. It was at a Denny's restaurant or someplace in Miami, and they called me, and I was in London at the time, and they called me. It was about 3 or 4 in the morning. I don't know what time it was here in the United States, but it woke me up, and they said, Brother Romero just dropped dead. And the paramedics, when they came there, they said he was dead. His heart blew up. He was dead before he hit the floor. That's how fast the Lord comes upon you. A lot of people think of dying as that it's a long process. Some people do die. It takes a long time for them to die, but some of them just drop dead in a flash of a second. Their hearts blow up in their bodies. No one can figure out, because they're big and strong. They just can't figure it out. Paul Anderson, one of the world's strongest men, just keeled over and died. And there's all kind of, Mr. America, one of them, got pneumonia and he died. No, who would ever figure that Mr. America or Paul Anderson, the world's strongest man, many years ago, just dropped dead. Okay, so let's go.
Verse 10. You will soon cross the Jordan River and live in the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession. When he gives you rest and security from all your enemies, verse 11, you must bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your special gifts, and your offerings to fulfill a vow to the place the Lord your God will choose for his name to be honored.
And the Lord wants us to honor him. He wants to be honored in our body. There's no one. The Lord Jesus said to the Father, he says, you know, I've glorified you. I glorified you by doing everything that you said. And if you're not doing everything that God says, commands, you're not glorifying the Lord. You're glorifying Satan. And don't think that God doesn't know it. Now, you may, you know, like if you're living miles away from me, a lot of people, they still can't. If the Lord tells me this person is doing something, it's just as like Moses was up on the mountain and the Lord told Moses that there's people down there, and he even pinpointed what they were doing. Get down, they're sinning. And he does the same thing with me. And he does the same thing with me when, like the Bible states that Jesus knew that one of the people in his flock, the 12, was a devil. And I know the ones also. And I used to think, gosh, how did he know all these things? But as you mature in faith and in the Spirit, the Lord gives you discernment, and you can tell who the devils are and who the people that are of the Lord are. You can tell it by the things they say. You can tell it by their actions, the things they do in the church. It just sticks out. They stick out like a sore thumb. And I'm sure that I have the same discernment in that regard as Jesus did, because it's the same Spirit of Him in me and the Father. And the Holy Spirit tells you, teaches you. Jesus even said He teaches us all things. Amen?
Amen.
So it's very simple to do that. When you see people just ignoring the commandments, ignoring the statutes and precepts of the Lord, you see them not walking in the Spirit. You see them not interested in souls. I wanted another one or two witnessing crews to go out, and I want them to go out right away. We can't let a day go by without the witnessing crews. I know they're on the streets constantly in Los Angeles and New York, but they need to continue on in that area that they were up in around the Northwest and other areas right away. So if people are hearing this, get yourself crews together and get going, because I know the Lord wants that happening right now. Okay, and then what else?
King James Version, verse 12. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters, and your menservants and your maidservants, and the Levite that is within your gates.
I always wondered, well, you're rejoicing. You know, I rejoice because I know I'm saved. When I was a young Christian, I thought, this is a commandment to rejoice? Yes, because if you see people not rejoicing, you know they're not with the Lord. Because, when the bridegroom is in you, with you and in you, how could you not rejoice? I mean, any labor, you know, you see people that are complaining about working too hard. There's people like over, you know, one of them in the cook shack that says, oh, they're just so burdened. And there's all kinds of reports that they don't really do that much, that they mainly like to be supervisors and they don't lift anything or do anything like that. Well, you know, those people are not really of the Lord, because they would be rejoicing if the bridegroom was with them, if the Spirit of the Lord was in them. They wouldn't be murmuring, complaining at all. And they would be bringing reports. They'd be communicating because it's a commandment. But because they don't, you know that they don't know the Lord. They're not saved. And for years they haven't reported anything at all. So, you know, that's not they're not of the Lord. They don't know the Father because He commands them to do it. And we know the Father because we keep His commandments. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
And the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Verse 13. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest.
Right. I mean, somebody might tell you to go over to their cult and offer burnt offerings over there. You might decide to do it someplace, to go to a rodeo or something and offer burnt, sacrifices unto the Lord there. When the Lord really wants you to be in the home, in your closet, and be praising and thanking the Lord there and asking Him what you're supposed to be doing. I'd like to go to New York or London again, Israel, but the Lord said, He gives me direction of where to stay. And that's where He wants me. Wherever He leads me to be, He wants me to worship Him there, because I have to pray always, communicate with the Lord always. And that means wherever you're at, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Wherever He leads you to be. You may want to go someplace and you'll go there and the Lord didn't want you there, just like Greg Howard, and you fall through a roof or an automobile smashes into you and you're dead. You've got to be careful where you go. If the Lord's going to tell you to go someplace, then you know you're going to be safe. He says, my people, or Christians, perish because of the lack of knowing where to go, what to do, and what to say, and how to be. For a lack of knowledge, my people perish. What's the rest of it?
Lack of knowledge.
For the lack of knowledge, okay, of knowing what? Knowing the Lord. And the Lord will say, I never knew you, and cast you into the lake of fire. You have to put these scriptures together. Amen? So you understand what they mean? Okay, go ahead.
Verse 14, But in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings.
Right, so the Lord chooses for us to send us. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And there thou shalt do all that I command thee.
Yeah, like he says, to go get out of the house. There's one time he told me to do that, and I told you in Las Vegas. And he says, get out. You've got like so many minutes to get out. 5 minutes, I think he told me. And then all of a sudden, I got out of there in about 3.5, 4 minutes, because I knew, sure enough, as soon as I left there, here comes a bunch of federal agents with the idea to kill me for nothing. Kill me because I'm exposing their boss, the Vatican, the Pope, and all the other criminals that are in what is supposed to be the United States government. But I think everybody by now knows that it's not. It's the Roman Catholic cult government that has moved in to the United States of America, and everything that God says to do, they have turned it around towards what the devil wants. And so it's Satan's government. And they want to kill anybody that's decent, that believes in the Lord and wants to keep his commandments. And so knowing that, a lot of people have cowered out, a lot of people have turned their back on the Lord. But I'm still alive. I didn't turn my back on the Lord. There was a preacher on television that was telling a story where they had this congregation going. They were all born-again Christians, they said. And here comes two communists in with machine guns, and they were walking down the aisle, and they pointed the guns at him and said, all right, any of you people in here that want to get it, you've got 60 seconds to get out of here if you want your life saved. If you will renounce the Lord, then you got 60 seconds to get out of here. And whoever's left, you're going to die. And about half the congregation jumped up, and they started running out of the place. Some of them running over each other. Some of them jumping out the windows and out the doors. And after they were all gone, half the congregation just sitting there waiting to be killed. And those two, supposed to be communists, laid their guns down on the floor and they said, brethren, we've come here to worship with you. We wanted all the phonies to leave first. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's a good way to clear the church, amen?
Amen.
Of the phonies? Praise the Lord. I thought that was great. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's keep going.
Verse 15. Notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart. Verse 16, Only ye shall not eat the blood, ye shall pour it upon the earth as water.
Right, so in honor of everything's life, because the life is in the blood, the Lord says, you're eating the body of this animal, so pour the blood out, because that's like desecrating the animal's actual life. You took the life away from the animal, and now you want to eat its blood on top of it? No, I don't want you to do that. Pour it out on the ground in respect to the animal's life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 17. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn, or of thy wine, or of thy oil, or the firstlings of thy herds, or of thy flock, nor any of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy freewill offerings, or heave offering of thine hand.
Oh, because you vowed them unto the Lord. Okay, then what else?
Verse 18. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God, in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thine hands unto.
Right, like a lot of prostitutes or people, they get saved and they want to go back into the house of prostitution to witness to those people. Or they go back into the dope den to witness to people where they got So we want to win their souls. The Lord says, no, I want you to eat and drink my word and my blood, my flesh and my blood, where I want you to be. And that's the congregation of the churches. Amen?
Amen.
Not going back into assimilating back into the world like a lot of false prophets are telling people to do today. Oh, go to law school, learn how to be a Christian attorney. By the time they get in there, for any time at all, they're going to be corrupt and their Christianity is gone. And the devil knows that. And any person that believes them is not, they don't know the Lord. And the Lord is going to tell them, I never knew you. So he wants you to eat and drink where he wants you to eat and drink. Amen?
Amen.
Not back in the dope den, in the whorehouse, in the place where there's a bunch of lesbians and you were with them, or homosexuals. Get out of there and stay out of there. When he told Lot to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he got out. The wife, when she was lusting after, she thought, oh, our beautiful home and furniture, she wasn't happy to get out of there and be happy that God had instructed her. She looked back longingly. And just that look was enough to anger the Lord to the point to where she was turned into a pillar of salt. And people say, how they turn into a pillar of salt? Well, how does an atomic bomb turn people into charcoal? Huh? That you believe, but you don't believe that God has the power of an A-bomb? Are you, is something wrong with your spirit? God has more power than an A-bomb, amen?
Yeah.
A-bombs can't move the world off of its axis or hold the world up and the universe up, but the Lord does. So he's far more, it's just foolish to even talk about such a thing as that. Then what?
Verse 19, take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth.
In other words, you have to pay for those that minister to you. It's a commandment to give tithes and offerings. Otherwise, they'd have to go out and get a job, and then you wouldn't be ministered to, and the whole, all of Israel would fall. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else? It's because it's a commandment from the Lord to give your tithes and offerings. Then what else?
Verse 20, when the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border, as he hath promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because thy soul longeth to eat flesh, thou mayest eat flesh whatsoever thy soul lusteth after.
Oh, yeah, anything that is legal, lawful. Then what else?
Verse 21. If the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to put his name there be too far from thee, then thou shalt kill of thy herd and of thy flock, which the Lord hath given thee, as I have commanded thee, and thou shalt eat in thy gates whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. Verse 22. Even as the roebuck and the hart is eaten, so thou shalt eat them. The unclean and the clean shall eat of them alike. Verse 23. Only be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life, and thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh.
Right, because that's desecrating the life of the animal. That's pretty greedy to eat its flesh and then its blood too. You might as well eat the grass that they ate too. Amen? Okay, and then in the straw. Okay, what I would say, here now.
Translation, verse 12 through 23. You must celebrate there with your sons and daughters and all your servants in the presence of the Lord your God. And remember the Levites who live in your towns, for they will have no inheritance of land as their own. Verse 13. Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings just anywhere. Verse 14. You may do so only at the place the Lord will choose within one of your tribal territories. There you must offer your burnt offerings and do everything I command you. Verse 15. But you may butcher animals for meat in any town, wherever you want, just as you do now with gazelle and deer.
Yeah, if it's just for you to eat. Then what?
You may eat as many animals as the Lord your God gives you. All of you, whether ceremonially clean or unclean, may eat that meat. Verse 16.
Not the beast. The beast cannot be unceremonially unclean. You, even if you're unclean, you can eat an animal that the Lord gives you, which means no hogs, no horses, no camels, no rabbits, because they're part of the mouse or the rodent family. And the Lord tells you all the things you can eat. And those are the things that the Lord gives you to eat. You can eat lambs, you can eat turkey, can't eat ducks or geese, but you can eat chickens. A lot of people eat that stuff, but it's no good for you. And it won't send your soul to hell. But you better ask the Lord to bless it. Nowadays, back then, that was very bad. It still is, to eat vultures and things like that. Okay, the reason the Lord allows chickens and turkeys is because they have a gizzard, a filter system in them, and these other birds don't, to filter the poison out. They're poisonous. All right, then what?
The only restriction is that you are not to eat the blood. You must pour it out on the ground like water. Verse 17, but your offerings must not be eaten at home, neither the tithe of your grain and new wine and olive oil, nor the firstborn of your flocks and herd, nor an offering to fulfill a vow, nor your freewill offerings, nor your special gifts. Verse 18, you must eat these in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place he will choose. Eat them there with your children, your servants, and the Levites who live in your towns, celebrating in the presence of the Lord your God in all you do. Verse 19, be very careful never to forget the Levites as long as you live in your land. Verse 20, when the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he has promised, you may eat meat whenever you want.
Verse right, just like Jesus going through the cornfields with his disciples. A lot of people that don't know the Bible thought they were stealing the man's corn, but the Bible tells us that you're supposed to, the strangers that are going through, it's very lawful for them to take food to eat because they didn't have any McDonald's or any kind of roadside places to eat. And so for the poor people, you're to leave part of your field, and also for travelers to eat from it. And all people in Israel know that. They'll never condemn you for taking something out of their field. And so they ate the things, whatever they wanted, wherever they were. Except if it's a sacrifice, they can't do it that way. There's a certain place where you eat that. All right, then what else?
Verse 21, it might happen that the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored is a long way from your home. If so, you may butcher any of the cattle or sheep the Lord has given you, and you may eat the meat at your home as I have commanded you. Verse 22, anyone, whether ceremonially clean or unclean, may eat that meat, just as you do now with gazelle and deer. Verse 23, the only restriction is never to eat the blood, for the blood is the life, and you must not eat the life with the meat. King James Version, verse 24. Thou shalt not eat it, thou shalt pour it upon the earth as water. Verse 25. Thou shalt not eat it, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord.
Right, all life comes from the Lord, and the Lord wants us to honor life, because eternal life, God let his son's blood be spilt for us, and we have to honor that blood. We cannot put his crucifixion, his name, his blood, his life, blood, to shame. We must receive his blood to live. Okay, then what? We have to honor the blood of everything by not eating it. Okay, then what else?
Verse
because
20.
That'll remind you to honor the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
If you're to honor the blood of an animal, how much more God Almighty, the body that he lived in when he was here on earth. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Verse 26. Only thy holy things which thou hast, and thy vows thou shalt take, and go into the place which the Lord shall choose. Verse 27. And thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, the flesh and the blood, upon the altar of the Lord thy God. And the blood of thy sacrifices shall be poured out upon the altar of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt eat the flesh. Verse 28, observe and hear all these words, which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Verse 29. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land. Verse 30. Take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, How did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Verse 31. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Translation, verse 24 through 32. Instead, pour out the blood on the ground like water. Verse 25. Do not eat the blood. Then all will go well with you and your children, because you will be doing what pleases the Lord. Verse 26. Take your sacred gifts and your offerings given to fulfill a vow to the place the Lord chooses to dwell. Verse 27. You must offer the meat and blood of your burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord your God. The blood of your other sacrifices must be poured out beside the altar of the Lord your God, but you may eat the meat. Verse 28. Be careful to obey my commands, so that all will go well with you and your children, because you will be doing what pleases the Lord your God. Verse 29. When the Lord your God destroys the nations, and you drive them out and occupy their land. Verse 30. Do not be trapped into following their example, in worshiping their gods. Do not say, quote, How do these nations worship their gods? I want to follow their example, unquote. Verse 31. You must not do this to the Lord your God. These nations have committed many detestable acts that the Lord hates, all in the name of their gods. They have even burned their sons and daughters as sacrifices to their gods. Verse 32. Carefully obey all the commands I give you. Do not add to them or subtract from them.
All right. That was the last verse, verse 32 of the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, and now we have some commentary.
12, verse 4 through 5. The place of worship was essential to the well-being of God's people in the Old Testament. The tabernacle and the Jerusalem temple of later times provided that place. It is important for God's people in all times in history to have a place to worship God properly.
And of course, as I said, that is the temple, the holy temple of God, which is your body. Amen?
Amen.
Wherever you are. But not in the whorehouse, not in the dope den, not in any of those places. The Lord likes us to have a place to congregate. People call them churches, but we're the church, amen? The body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem. Then what?
The encouragement that can be found by meeting with other believers to worship God is most helpful to any successful person that wants to become mature. 12 verse 32. When all else fails, follow the directions. So often we attempt to accomplish God's work our own way. A lot of people do that, in our own strength. It is quite possible to do the right thing in the wrong way, or for the wrong reason.
And in the wrong place. Then what?
We are to follow all of God's directions, and nothing but God's directions. Do it God's way. That is the divine prescription for physical, emotional, and spiritual growth for your maturity. 12 verse 2 through 4. Places of idolatry were to be totally destroyed in order to divest them of any semblance of sanctity. This act...
Right, we can't be trying to act like a saint and say we're Christians and be worshiping in Buddhist or trying to worship God in a Buddhist temple or in Islam or the Vatican or the Catholic cult. It's just, that's, and anyone that has united themselves with them, because the Lord calls that them the Antichrist. And they say, they've attacked us, we've traced everyone that has ever persecuted us, and we found out that the judges, the prosecuting attorneys, the people, everyone turned out to be a Vaticanite, a Catholic. And so all we're doing is defending ourselves against them. We didn't attack them. They're the ones that attack. They're the ones that have always burned people at the stake, Christians at the stake, and threw Christians to the lions. And they're doing it today. They're the ones that predicted this World Trade Center. They're the ones that slaughtered the people at Waco, because Mr. Clinton, President Clinton, is a Catholic. It's one of his best friend is the Pope. And then also the federal building. It's obvious. We have confessions from government agents that stated that they definitely were sent there not to arrest David Koresh, but to put him to death. Mr. Peeler called it, he was an FBI undercover agent, said that the government agents, Catholic government agents, were calling it a turkey shoot. They were just going to have some fun. They were just going out a-funnin'. To them, that's fun. Because they feel that everyone that is not a Catholic is a devil. But those are the devils that kill people. Christians don't kill people. The Lord forbids that they murdered. They planned to murder those people. And then at the federal building in Oklahoma City, a bunch of the federal agents went out, and their kids were in the nursery. They took them out just minutes before and hurriedly. They knew it was going to happen. They actually set bombs in that building themselves, and they were in it with McVeigh. Same thing with the World Trade Center. They had these bombs, the airplanes, they said, they could not have knocked those buildings down, as it were. They had time bombs in there, all kinds of big, huge bombs that blew off simultaneously. They blew up at the same time that those planes hit the World Trade Center. It was sabotage. It was geared to make us go to war, to take over Iraq, to use our manpower to bomb them and put them under submission so a new Catholic leader under the name of democracy would move in there and take it over, because the Vatican wants to control the whole world. They killed the Romanian. They call everyone a Hitler except themselves. But they're the real Hitlers. They're the real mafia. Okay, so go ahead.
This act of destruction was seen as a symbolic act of rejecting the foreign deities, and is also symbolic of us rejecting the entire world.
Right. Then what else? Yes, we have to reject this type of thinking, the Vatican type of thinking, the Antichrist type of thinking, that wants to take the Bibles out of the classrooms, out of school, everywhere, so that people cannot know that this is the Antichrist. The Bible spells it out. You have to read it and study it, and know its literal language and its symbolic language. Then what else?
Total destruction removed future temptations for the Israelites and removed relationship of these gods of theirs with a particular geographical location.
So that's what they're trying to do, is take the remembrance of how evil they are away from the schools and from people at all. They've outlawed the Bible in many countries throughout the world. Absolutely outlawed it, because it is a reminder of the Bible for us to serve the Lord and Him only. And the devil doesn't want people serving the Lord. That's why they take the Bibles away. Then what else?
12, verse 6. Burnt offerings. See note on Leviticus 1, verses 3 through 4. The sacrifices consisted of the heave offerings, vowed offerings, and freewill offerings, all of which were different kinds of, quote, peace offerings, unquote. Look at Leviticus 3:1. Quote, and if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord, unquote. The firstborn of your herds and flocks refers to the firstborn during the bearing life of an animal. They were to be used in numerous sacrifices, including the vowed offerings. 12:12. The Levite was cared for out of the sacrifices of the people. 12:16. Blood symbolized life, which God imparted to all living creatures. Thus it was to be treated with respect by ritually pouring it on the ground like water. 12 verse 23 through 25. The only prohibition placed upon the eating of meat was the mandate not to consume the animal's blood. 12 verse 31. The practice of child sacrifice was a heinous abomination and was a capital crime to Israel. Leviticus 18:21 and 20 verse 2 through 5. 18 verse 21, quote, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord," unquote.
The Lord hates abortion. He hates abortion. We have seen a movie where these doctors are going in to kill the baby, and the little baby's hand is fighting the doctor off. He's grabbed a hold of his finger, his wrist, or something like that. And they're alive. They know they're being killed. This government is going to be utterly destroyed, and the people in it that have approved these things, and the women that have done these things to their children and allowed them to be done, are going to be miserably cast into the lake of fire if they don't repent, and soon. This is the most miserable Holocaust that has ever happened on the face of this earth. Over 40 million babies that they know of have been slaughtered, put to death by this bunch of Nazi, Antichrist, fatherless children, which are, that means they're bastards. Okay, then what?
Leviticus 20, verse 2 through 5. Quote, "Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones."
Right. These people are worthy of being stoned to death. They're murderers, first-degree murderers, 40 million murders they have committed that we know of, not to mention people that just do it all the time and that don't go to clinics. They're miserably going to be destroyed. And they're going to be gnashing and chewing on their tongues, chomping on their tongues throughout eternity. And they're supposed to be doctors that have performed these things. And also the people in legislature that have legislated such evil, satanic Nazi crimes in this country. Then what?
"And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech."
Lord God, do it now in the name of Jesus. See, if people would call out to God, say, what can we do? We can't do anything because they're more than we are, and they've got the National Guard, the Army, United Nations troops and everything, but God can do it. So call out to God that God will avenge these 40 million deaths soon, right away, in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
How could anybody, I mean, you've got to be demons possessed to do such a thing like that to little children, to babies, or anybody for that matter. They're the most wicked, rotten, filthy, scummy people on the face of this earth. But God will save their souls if they repent. But if they don't, Father, destroy them from off the face of this earth in Jesus' name. They've polluted the land. They've desecrated this country, and they're doing it more and more every day, in Jesus' name, Father. Then what?
"I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people."
Right, now see, the Lord says his sanctuary, they've destroyed his sanctuary. God wanted to live in those 40 million children because they were to be the temples of the Lord. And they murdered him so that the Lord couldn't do a work in them. And many of them would have been big, very large Christian leaders for the Lord. Well, that was chapter 12. Pray about that, everybody. Make sure you do. Chapter 12 of Deuteronomy. Think about these things. Stay in prayer as the Lord commands. Because how could you be of the Lord and you're not praying? Meditate on it all day long so that you can stand one more day in the Lord. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord and amen.